Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan has pumped nearly $80 million into boosting third grade reading levels. But the latest analysis from the Education Trust Midwest shows, despite all that spending, early reading scores in our state went down. Third graders in Michigan at the bottom of the country in their test scores. In fact, we're one of the few states actually losing ground in those critical third grade reading levels. Amber Arellano is Executive Director of the Education Trust Midwest. Amber, welcome back.
Thank you.
So the 2018 State of Michigan Education Report is called Top 10 for Education, Not by Chance. An interesting choice of title. What's behind that phrasing?
Our report now is really trying to take a deeper look at how we do our work in Michigan, because what we've learned from leading states around the country is that it's not just about putting more money into the system to improve it. It's also about becoming more effective. It's about investing more in things that actually are really proven to work, research-based strategies that actually move the ball and change classroom practices. In Michigan, we think a lot about all the things that change schools or think about schools sort of on the outside of the box of the school. In other words, we have arguments about competition and charter schools and governance, but all of those things don't actually reach into what happens in the school building. And that's actually where things really happen for students, right? That's where teaching and learning happens. And so it's called Not by Chance because the way that Michigan goes about its work is that we just sort of have this patchwork approach to our strategies and our spending. We really do leave it to chance of whether or not kids in classrooms are getting the best reading instruction than they can. And we just don't know. We don't even have data to look at that right now because it's such a crapshoot.
So I'm quoting from the new report. Here is the quote. Michigan's public education system is among the poorest performing in the country. What do the numbers tell us?
So for every indicator that we have available tells us about teaching and learning, whether it's third grade math or eighth grade reading, whether it's for white students, black students, brown students, we are now in the bottom five states. A lot of folks thought that maybe we had hit bottom. This has been a trend that's been going on since the early 2000s. We thought that we had hit bottom several years ago. And what the new data are telling us that we just haven't hit bottom yet. You know, we've actually lost ground over the last 3 years on the M-STEP. That's a really important indicator because this is our first state assessment in history that allows us to compare to other states involved in the same assessment consortium. What the data suggests is that we don't know that we've hit bottom yet. And so it's a really sobering reality.
Nobody should think, not our district.
That's right. I mean, we looked at every group of students, Latino, immigrant, white students, higher income students, lower income students. Everyone has declined on third grade reading. And what's so alarming about that is that this is one of the most important indicators of how well students are going to learn through their K-12 experience, how likely they are to go to college or get some sort of post-secondary training. If you don't read well, you can't learn all the other subjects. And it's even an important indicator of lifelong employment for job success and earnings. So if there's a place for us to start, it's here.
So let's talk about those early reading scores. I know the first year M-STEP was administered was in 2014, 2015. At that point, 50% of third graders tested as proficient in reading skills. So the state puts the money in, says we're going to pass a law that kicks in a couple years saying we're going to hold kids back who are a full grade behind. So for that $80 million and the talk, where are we now?
So we are now one of the few states in the country that have continued to decline over the last few years. In fact, we showed the greatest decline, which is actually shocking given that we're working so hard on it. You know, I have a daughter in kindergarten, and we are having ongoing conversations with the teacher about how we can help support her. We have a tutor. You know, the school is dialed in on this. It's not that folks in the field are not working really hard. There's great urgency. It's just that it's how we're doing it. The way that Michigan is spending that $80 million is the state's essentially saying, we're going to cut these checks to local ISDs. We're not going to have real prescription or guidance or any accountability around the dollars. We're not going to collect data on how they're using that.
Here's money.
Right. Here's the money. Good luck. Hope it goes well. We're not even checking to see like what the practice looks like. If they're doing coaching, like what does that look like? How do we know that that's really effective? How do we know that that's actually really helping teachers and kids get better? In a state like Tennessee, for example, it looks so vastly different. The state has built these really amazing systems of coaching and improvement for teachers and principals in particular. They look to see who are the teachers in our state that are the most effective and that are getting the biggest gains in teaching for kids. Let's see if those folks are interested in taking on additional responsibilities for additional pay, working through summers to help retrain teachers, to help support teachers. And then now you have this sort of standing Marine Corps of the best teachers in the state. They're able to support teachers and principals around the state on what best practice looks like. That is radically different than what we're doing. And that's why it's such a crapshoot. It's hard to learn how to get better when you're not even taking a close look at what your practice looks like around the state. And so, you know, what we're doing is just not working. It's about getting smarter about the how.
Knowing that it was 50% that first year, and now looking at your report, I see 44% of third graders. And knowing that in 2 years, the state can start holding third graders back, what do you think we're in for?
I don't necessarily think it was the wrong move for the legislature to make it a priority. I think that was a good thing, and I think it really truly has created this great urgency and a focal point for a system that's muddling at best right now. The challenge, though, is that because of weak implementation, you combine that with retention. We're talking about what could be the majority of kids in the state, and certainly in urban areas and rural areas, you know, we're talking about almost all of the kids of color in the state being held back. And that's not their fault. And it's not necessarily the educators in the school's fault either. It's just that we're not properly supporting and building the internal capacity of schools to actually become more effective.
And whose fault is that?
I think it's about leadership. It starts from the top down.
Are you talking about in the school district, in the school itself, in Lansing?
I think it starts in Lansing. If you look at leading education states, it starts with the governor. It starts with the top K-12 leaders in the state. In our state, that means our state superintendent and the Michigan Department of Education. And it starts by taking a really close and humble look at how our systems are set up. You know, what are our sort of feedback loops? How are we learning? How are we getting better? Are we doing what we know really works in the top states in the country and what research tell us? And right now, that answer is a resounding no.
Knowing that things are working in other states and scores have gone up and people are improving.
Dramatically, yeah.
Within your latest report, you do look at some work being done in collaboration with Grand Rapids Public Schools and Wyoming Public Schools in some high-poverty schools where there is kind of an encouraging story to tell.
Yeah, I think we need to take a look at the places where they really are making gains. The whole state is not going down. There are places for hope. The Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning and the Steelcase Foundation have been partnering with Wyoming and Grand Rapids Public Schools. They're working side by side, those principals and teachers, to look at their practices and look at, see, what school-level systems do we need to build better to support educators in classrooms to become more effective? What does that look like? This is actually, in many ways, sort of a pilot of taking some of those models that have been so hugely successful in the state of Tennessee, bringing them that back here, and seeing if they can work in high-poverty schools in Michigan, and they're working. So, I mean, it shows that our kids are not somehow innately inferior to kids in other states. These are some of very poor neighborhoods in districts that are often under-resourced, but the district leadership in those places and the school leadership and the teachers in those schools, they are doing such great and really hard work. They've been at it now for several years, and we can learn a lot from that place.
You know, Amber, you and the team at Education Trust Midwest, you keep crunching the data. You keep doing these studies like this latest one, the top 10 education, not by chance. And the message seems to be pretty unchanging. Mixed Michigan students are losing ground to the rest of the country. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever feel like the proverbial voice crying in the wilderness?
I used to, but, you know, I think what's happened is that more and more organizations have been really changing. I mean, they've been really committing and saying, you know, we are not going to sit by the sidelines and hope that this is going to work out. I think you're going to see more organizations coming out in the next month or two. I think there's going to be probably one of the top topics at the Mackinac Policy Conference this year. I think it's incumbent on all of us to make sure that the gubernatorial candidates this year and this fall are making public education a top priority. And I hope that people will join us in insisting on that. We have a website, michiganachieves.org, where people can sign up, they can find ways to get active, and they can find ways to be a voice in making sure that this just doesn't get lost in all the other political baits and all the other priorities right in front of us. I mean, we have really kicked the can on public education for a long time. And I think for a long time, it made sense. The state was in the Great Recession. It was a devastating time. People were losing jobs. I mean, you know, there was just so much on the table, just like people were like, I'm just trying to save my house. You know, I don't have the capacity right now to figure out.
No bandwidth.
Right. And there just wasn't. There wasn't at the state level. There wasn't locally. But we are well beyond that now. And if the loss of the Amazon, of having a chance of bringing those jobs to Michigan, and that was one of the most important pieces of feedback that Amazon said, you don't have a good talent pipeline. You're among the worst in the country. That's not where we want to be. We can't find highly skilled workers from a K-12 system that is in the bottom of the country. We're 49th for many indicators now. So this is a moment, I think, of great awakening. I think we're going to see many more organizations stepping up and saying, we are in this. We are going to make this a priority. We are going to insist that our state leaders make this a priority.
Amber Arellano is the Executive Director of the Education Trust Midwest. Thank you so much.
Thank you.